Good evening and welcome again this evening. Certainly a blessing to be here for the weekend, being a part of or being able to take in that choir last evening and meet some people I've never met before and be here. It's been really good. It's been a blessing, and I want to thank you all for your prayers this weekend. I felt them keenly, and I appreciate that very much, and the hospitality that we had here, and we'd love to do it back to you again sometime. So come out west, come see us out in Alberta sometime, and we'll return the favor. Fruitful and consecrated godly homes. I had to think, what would this city look like, or the community, or the state of Pennsylvania, if one morning there was no godly homes represented? What would the community look like? What would the business world look like? Would it operate the same? How long would it operate? Point is, godly consecrated homes are the sustaining force in the world wherever they're at. We may seem insignificant in our little role we play with our little families here and there, and we think we're not making much of a impact, but there is synergy and there is a tremendous amount of darkness displaced by the Christian homes. Without Christian homes and solid homes, any society eventually fails and falls. That is why they are so important. The devil is all out in attack mode against the Christian homes, and he is succeeding on some fronts, and it is vitally important that we take it serious. Every single one of us, every young person, every old person, every child that's represented here, think about it. Think about the impact of what your home was in the community, and the little things like the common courtesy, going to the grocery store and giving that clerk a smile and a word of encouragement or something like that. If that didn't happen anymore, it would just get darker and darker really fast. What do you think of when you think of the saying, there's no place like home? What does that statement mean to you? What memories and emotions does that stir in our hearts as we think back to our home growing up, where we came from, and we remember as a child? Was that a positive experience, or was it a negative experience? Hopefully it was positive. I'm not sure how many generations of Christian homes would be represented here, but in my family, in our family, I would be the third generation. As far as I know, we came from Norway and settled in Kansas and then moved up to southern Alberta, my ancestors, and we're there now. And seeing the impact of even the decisions that that my ancestors, my grandparents, great-grandparents made, in the impact that it's having on the community, not just with our family, but the Christian homes represented there. It is a powerful force, and I heard that one person said that the Mennonite church or the Christian church there is like a conscience for the community. They're the sounding board. Let's turn to Psalm 127 for opening text. It's a very familiar psalm. Could probably recite it by heart. I'd like to read down through it. Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. The word I'd like to look at this evening, excuse me, is the first word in that psalm, except. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. Except means without exception. The only way a home works is if it is built according to the plan and for the purpose that God designed. Father and mother and children fulfilling their proper and God-given place under his direction. Then I'd like to turn the page over to Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be. And it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. There is blessing, tremendous blessing, in the context of the Christian home. When the Lord is the builder of it. Any other method, in any other order, and we labor in vain. Let's be sure that we're not wasting our time. The purpose of the Christian home is to bring glory to our Creator and to perpetuate the faith, like it says here in Psalm 128. Thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. The children's children. How many generations? And I'd like to turn over to 1 Corinthians 13. Again, it's a very familiar passage. I'm just going to read down here. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. I like to picture the Christian home this evening as a walled garden, like we talked about this morning, that is overshadowed by charity, like a beautiful waterfall that cascades down and trickles through every aspect of that home. And I'd like to keep this in mind as we go through the rest of my thoughts here. I came up with an acrostic for Christian homes, and I want us all to remember that every action and ingredient that I have here must be motivated by charity and love. Nobody is exempt. Everyone that is a part of the home, is a part of its makeup, is responsible to participate in it. First one I have is the letter C. And for that one I have commitment. Commitment to our covenant relationships. Commitment is a foundation for every Christian home. Without it, there is nothing solid. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Our commitment to our baptismal vows to Christ and His church are an absolute necessity. Deuteronomy 23 verse 21 says, "When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be a sin to thee." Fruitful, consecrated homes are built on the foundation of commitment. Commitment to our Lord, commitment to our church, commitment to our spouse. And that is the bedrock that we build our families and our homes on. The second letter in the acrostic is H. And for that one, I have honesty. Romans 13 verse 18 says, "Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly," which requires a great deal of humility. Always being straight up and honest with our spouse and our children, and admitting our faults is not easy, but it is right. And it's an essential part of the Christian home. Proverbs 11 verse 3 says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of the transgressors shall destroy them." God's way is integrity. Accept the Lord, build the house. For the third one, the third letter is R. I have respect. I'd like to read a couple of verses out of Ephesians chapter 6. First four verses, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is a first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." We see the respect, children to parents, parents to children. We are not lords over them, we are here to dress and to keep what God has given to us. There needs to be respect that goes both ways. We teach them, and we need to be humble enough to allow them to teach us. Exodus 20 is one of the Ten Commandments. Says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord God giveth thee." especially the fathers, we need to exemplify and require respect in our homes. It is crucial. Respect each other's property. Respect each other's privacy. Respectful communication, especially to mother. Disrespect should never be allowed. In a Christian home, parents do not argue and feud in the presence of their children. We work out our differences in private. And that is one thing, going back to my home growing up that I grew up in, I do not remember my parents arguing or feuding in any way in the presence of us. And I think back on that and the way they related, and it's exemplary to me. The fourth one I have is the letter I. And for this one I have instruction. There needs to be a tremendous amount of instruction in the home. We need to be clear with our instruction. Someone said to be unclear is to be unkind. Our children need to understand what we require. We need to mean what we say and say what we mean. Our houses need to be a place of learning and instruction for our families and even the strangers that are within our gates. And I'd like to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31, verses 12 and 13. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and the stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn and fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. Those are interesting verses, and there's a lot we could take from them. But our homes need to be open and with strangers in our gates, with strangers around our table, other families, other youth, other people, and we need to instruct them along with our children. We need to teach them to worship. We need to teach them to pray, sing, give. We need to be proactive in instructing and equipping our children for life. We need to be intentional about our instruction. As Christian parents, we need to be examples. We need to be good examples to our children and the strangers within our gates. What kind of music do we allow and listen to ourselves? What do we allow our eyes and our ear and the eyes of our children to look at? Psalm 101, verse 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. We need to be parents that are guarding our children's eyes, guarding our own eyes, and being an example of that. What we allow affects the honesty of what we believe. And our children can read through when they know when we are pushing the boundaries or doing something that is not what the church allows, or they clue in really quick. Let's be extremely careful. Dads, are you connected and have an open relationship with your wife and your children? Or is there walls? Let's keep it open. The fifth one I have is the letter S. For this one, I have servant attitude. We need to sacrifice for each other. Mark 10, verse 45 is the example of Christ, and this is in the ESV. It says, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. He is the example of servanthood, true servanthood. And then over in Philippians, you don't have to turn to all these, but I'm just going to read a couple verses there. Philippians chapter 2. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to teach our children to not only be concerned about number one, and we need to exemplify that. We need to teach them to serve. I know this is in the context of the church, but the principle applies to the family. The sixth one I have is the letter T. For this one I have trust and teamwork. And I'd like to read a couple of verses out of Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Verses 9 to 12. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth. For he hath not another to help him. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And then in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, says, therefore set I the lower places behind the wall. This is when they went back and they're beginning to build a wall and they were facing opposition. He said, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and a shield and the bows and the habergeons. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, they which builded on the wall, and they that bare burdens, with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, in the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye hither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. I love the picture there. The teamwork of families. Nehemiah strategically set them in families on that wall in the building of it. It was dangerous work. It was hard work. But he did what it took to build that wall regardless of the opposition they were facing. The work of building a Christian home in 2026 can be a daunting task. Certainly a great and large task like Nehemiah was facing here. And sometimes it feels like we are separated in little islands in our communities. But just as Nehemiah was sure here in the building of the wall, we can be sure that our God will fight for us. But it takes effort, it takes coordination, it takes communication and everything. It takes teamwork and a tremendous amount of trust. The next letter is the letter I. And in this one I have inclusive. And it is not in the sense that we hear so much about today, but the Christian home should be open and hospitable to all. I'm just going to read a couple of verses in Romans. Romans chapter 12, Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. This is verse 9. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. This includes everybody, the men of low estate. We need to, our homes need to be open, especially to the people in need. If we want our churches to exemplify this, it has to begin in our homes. Our doors need to be open. And that is another thing I remember and I value highly from the home I grew up in, is the tremendous amount of traffic we had go through there. We never lived in a fancy house, and we never had just a ton of stuff to eat all the time, but there was always enough, and my parents never turned anyone away. They brought people in constantly. They did, and they taught us to do the same, and I appreciate that very much. Next one I have is the letter A. In our homes, there needs to be apologies and confession. And I found in a book I read, The 7 A's of Confession. And this is a framework by author Ken Sandy. The 7 A's of Confession. We need to address everyone involved. Everyone that's been hurt takes humility. We need to avoid words like if, but, and maybe in our confessions. We need to admit specifically our offense, what went wrong. We need to acknowledge the hurt. When there's an offense, there are hurts, and we need to acknowledge that if we're responsible for it. We need to accept the consequences of our actions. Then we need to alter our behavior. And the last one, we need to ask for forgiveness and allow time for that to happen. Romans 14, verse 19 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. James 5, 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. This needs to happen in our homes. It needs to happen with young children. Sometimes parents need to apologize and confess to the children. And that is an example, and that is an opening for them to reciprocate that back and be open with their parents when they mess up. The next letter in the word Christian is the letter N. And for this one I have navigate and negotiate according to the truth of God's word and always strive for peace. Psalm 34, verse 14 says, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. It is something we strive for. It is not something that just happens on its own. It takes a lot of work to keep peace. And we know how that is in homes. Sometimes there's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of things go on. We need to come to a place of peace and strive for that. Proverbs Proverbs 3, it was quoted already today. Verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Navigate and negotiate according to the truth of God's word. He lays it out. He has a plan for the Christian home, and he has the path for us. We just need to lean on him and not on our own philosophy, not all the experts out there that have all the advice. For the word homes, I have a list of what a Christian consecrated fruitful home consists of. For the letter H, I have happiness, hospitality, and humility. For the letter O, I have openness and order. There needs to be structure there. There needs to be structure so children know when they come back, they know what to expect. For the letter M, I have meaningful, deep relationships. That is what a home is built on. That is what perpetuates the faith, the depth of the relationships of that home. For the letter E, I have enthusiasm and energy. Let's not let that wane. We need to keep that alive in our children. And between us as parents, we need to keep the enthusiasm and the energy alive. That is the life. There needs to be, our children need to be creative, and we need to encourage that. The letter S, I have safety and security. And I get the picture again of that beautiful walled garden, that paradise of the Christian home, the consecrated, fruitful Christian home. And back there in that psalm where it says, children are as arrows in the hand of a mighty man. We think of the children that go out from that, and they go to countries, they go to mission fields, they go to help wherever they can, they go to teach school. And those are like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. That's how the children of the youth are from a secure, beautiful Christian home. The verse I have in closing, I took it from 2 Chronicles 7, verse 16. And this is something we can take, all of us that are striving for Christian homes. It says, for now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. I pray that we would strive on to build consecrated, fruitful Christian homes here and wherever we find ourselves. And the youth that are looking forward to it, push on, do your best, and you'll be rewarded for it. Thank you, and may God bless.